escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
DJ Granville appeared and was charged with two charges with regard to the incident that occurred on April 11th, 2024. The first was reckless driving. That is an unclassified misdemeanor under the vehicle and traffic law, and DJ Granville pled guilty to that charge. That means that Mr. Granville pled guilty to a crime, and he does now have a criminal record. The second charge was leaving the scene of a property damage accident with regard to the same incident. I want to just take a minute to go through our investigation and tell you a little bit about the investigation that we did, some of the things we found and didn't find. But before I do that, I want to just say a couple brief remarks on the assistance provided by the Buffalo Police Department. The Buffalo Police Department, before my office became involved, had started an investigation. And they then continued to work with my office to complete that investigation. And I can tell you that they did an excellent job. And I want to specifically mention Lieutenant Karen Torello of the Internal Affairs Division. She did an excellent job, a thorough, professional job. And it was not an easy job for a police officer to do. And I commend her and her department for the job they did. When we started to look into this matter, and the types of charges we were looking at were the same charges that everybody thought. Is this a driving while intoxicated? Is this driving while impaired? You know, what was happening? And we were at, of course, a grave disadvantage because the investigation didn't start until 8 months or so after the incident. I want to start by going through some of the things that we did not have. We were not able to uncover in any way in our investigation. The first is any type of chemical test. So there was no breath test. There was no blood analysis for Mr. Granville's blood that night. There were nothing like that. There also were no field sobriety tests. So no tests were given that night. We had nothing to indicate that he performed one way or another in any type of field sobriety test. We also did not have the benefit of any statements from Mr. Granville as we would normally have in a normal DWI investigation. There would be statements, questions that are asked by responding officers, and answers given. We did not have that in this case. We also had no body cam whatsoever. And the reason for that was because the Buffalo Police Department, at the time, their retention time for accidents, for incidents that were coded as an accidents, was 6 months. So all of the body cam evidence was overwritten by the time our investigation started. We did take the additional step of reaching out to the provider of the body cam to find out, is there any way to recover that? And we were told that there is no way to recover the evidence once it's been overwritten after that 6 months. So we had no body cam evidence. The last thing that we did not have in this investigation was the cooperation of the police officers who responded that night. None of the Buffalo police officers who were called to respond that night cooperated with my office. None of them would give a supporting deposition when I asked them to do so, and none of them would come and meet with me or any of my investigators to talk about what they observed that night. So our investigation was without any of those things. What we did end up having was observations of citizens, of people who were there that night, who saw something or saw Mr. Granville, those types of things. And that is a difficult job to do, is to find people who saw something many months ago and for them to be willing to come forward and say what they saw. But we were successful with some individuals. Some individuals didn't want to speak with us or our investigators. And what we were able to basically put together was that, well, there was this accident, there was these series of accidents. We were able to, through civilians, identify Mr. Granville as the driver of that vehicle. And we were able to get some observations from varying degrees of closeness as to how Mr. Granville was acting that night. There were some witnesses who said that he appeared clearly to be impaired in some way. There was a divergence as to exactly what that might have been caused by. And what I mean by that is we had one witness who said, well, she smelled alcohol. We had other witnesses who said they were in proximity and they did not smell alcohol. There were other witnesses who couldn't say other than he was acting as if he was impaired in some way. We also had some information, and some of it was discussed by Mr. Connors in court, that Mr. Granville may have been using some properly prescribed medications from doctors. Now I'm going to take a little bit of a side tour here for a minute. I hope it doesn't just get brushed over because it's very important in this case. In New York State, the status of the law in New York State for driving while impaired by a drug or driving while impaired by a combination of alcohol and a drug, there's a specific requirement in the law that the prosecutor be able to prove what the intoxicating drug was and that it was listed on a particular list within the public health law. New York State is one of only a handful of states left that still have a law like this. I would, in past years, have called it a loophole. I can't call it a loophole anymore because this issue has been brought up before the New York State Legislature time and time again, year in, year out. The District Attorneys Association and many different advocacy groups have pushed to have this changed. So if a person is obviously impaired, but we're not able to say exactly what's impairing them, they can still be charged with driving while impaired by a drug or a combination of alcohol and a drug. The legislature has simply refused to make those changes. As recently as the most recent legislative session, there was a big push. Governor Hochul had proposed a change in her budget. It did not get through. It was pulled from the budget, and the majority of the legislature would not forward that legislation. So when you look at a case like this where you don't have any chemical test, when you don't have field sobriety tests, but you have observations that a person is impaired, if I can't say, well, it was this drug and that drug is on the public health law list, you can't charge it. And you're left then with a charge like reckless driving. This is not the only case like this. This is not unique. This is a common way to try to approach a case like this where you can't name the drug or the intoxicating agent is to approach it through a reckless driving charge. It's a side note, but I think it's very important when you look at the charges that are available in a case like this. To sum up then what happened today, Daniel Granville did come into court. He pled guilty to what, in my determination, was the highest charge that I would have been able to sustain beyond a reasonable doubt at trial. He did plead guilty to a misdemeanor that is a criminal charge, and that brings his portion of this matter to a conclusion. I will take a few questions at this time.
Do you think this would have been the same if it were not someone involved with law enforcement like Granville? If this was your own Tom, Dick, and Harry, would this be the same outcome?
So my goal when my office became involved was to make sure, and this is what I told my investigators and I told my assistant DA who was working on it, I want us to do exactly what we would do for anyone else. And we approached that case that way. So yes, from my perspective, from my office's perspective, we handled this like we would have anybody else. Now, there's a different question when you ask about what happened the night of the incident on the scene and whether or not the Buffalo police officers who responded, if they treated this like they would anyone else. But from the perspective of the way our office approached it in our prosecution, yes, like anyone else.
Is sister in law, is Lucy Askelin still under investigation? Should she keep charges?
So that portion of the case has not come to a conclusion at this time, so I'm not going to get into specifics about that. Today, I'm dealing with the case involving Daniel Granville.
Is it frustrating that you received no cooperation whatsoever from Buffalo Police during the investigation?
So I want to make a distinction again. From the Internal Affairs Office, I received an immense amount of cooperation. The Buffalo police officers who responded that night, I received no cooperation from. I found that to be very frustrating and disappointing.
What would you say to taxpayers who say, this essentially proves the point that certain people with badges are above the law, unlike the average citizen?
I guess what I would say is that I did my very best, and the Buffalo Police Department Internal Affairs Division did their best to make sure the outcome would not be that the outcome would be that there would be some accountability and there would be a day when we could say that we did hold this individual accountable, even though he's a police officer.
It seems like this has been more common,
Brian.
I guess I don't want to make that characterization. That the part of the investigation having to do with who did what when, it's not what I'm here to talk about today. And really, it probably extends beyond what I am doing as the special district attorney. I'm not in a position where I'm doing an overall investigation as to everybody who may have, been involved in any way. I have a fairly discreet job to do.
It seems like this was made way more complicated. Just in June, there was a man driving above the legal limit. He had some sort of beverage or consumption, arrested, taken to handcuffs. The public's looking at this as, this is pretty simple. But from the inside, it seems like there's so much. I mean, you have the defense attorney saying, this stuff takes longer than it does. This was a man who drove recklessly, admitted to it, caused property damage, could have killed someone. There's viewers out there who've had that personal connection and are seeing this, maybe gasping. But this is all just, there's people still on the job. There's people who left the court today. I mean, where is this accountability?
So what I would say to that is, you're right that it would have been a very simple investigation if it would have been completed on April 11th, 2024. It became more complicated when it was restarted 8 months later.
So why should those people still have their jobs?
That's what I'm talking about here today, is whether any employment decisions are outside of the purview of what I'm doing here.
Your office prosecutes cases. Every single case you prosecute involves usually testimony of police officers. If you had any other case where a crime occurred or possible crime occurred and the police officers refused to talk to your office, what would happen?
You know, I've had cases where, a police officer themself is under investigation, and that obviously that person wouldn't cooperate with us. I've never had a case where police officers who were currently employed were told they're not under investigation and still refuse to cooperate. I haven't had that experience.
What do you think that does for the trust between the public and police officers, just hearing that that's even frustrating from your own perspective?
I think it's something that absolutely needs to be addressed, and I think will be addressed by Buffalo Police.
Can we just clarify the issue of drugged driving and alcohol? Did Mr. Connors, in meetings with you, did they deny that he was drinking, and did they say he was under the influence of those medications? He mentioned medications in there. At the time he was driving?
Mr. Connors provided some information that showed. That documented what he said in court today, that Mr. Granville had some prescribed medications. They were a type of medication that could have led to an impaired coordination and things like that if in combination or in combination with alcohol. Mr. Connors never told me that DJ Granville was or was not drinking. The evidence we had with regard to that was from civilian witnesses.
From a DA's perspective, do you think this would impair DJ's ability to testify in court going forward at all?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think it would depend on the specifics of the case. I've had police officers who have made mistakes, who have even had scenarios where they may have pled guilty to, like, a driving while impaired, who continue on the job, and it doesn't affect their credibility when they testify. I think it would depend on the case.
As a county representative, is it frustrating that you're the one answering questions and we're pressing you about this when there was plenty of opportunity months ago for the sheriff to answer, Granville himself, who walked out without saying a word? Is it frustrating as a county representative?
I'm not frustrated by it. I have a role to play here, and I'm attempting to fulfill the role that I have here. I think others will make their own decision on what information they'll give.
In regards to the covering,
didn't rise to a felony and damage, property damage, $60,000, roughly seven cars. That doesn't rise to a felony?
So, no, not in this scenario. If you were to... No, it would not in a scenario of a traffic incident that led to that damage, would not, no.
In regards to the covering up, so to speak, of all this and the fact that this was not exposed until we reported on it, is there any chance that anyone involved in that whole situation could be held accountable in the future in your office?
Again, that part of the investigation has not been closed at this point, and some assessment needs to be made on that.
When will we find out about
I don't have a timeline for that.
If DJ Granville was a Niagara County Sheriff's deputy with his credibility issues, would you put him on the stand to testify?
I would, because a lot of times when an officer is testifying, they're testifying about something that's corroborated by other officers and what they did. So I don't think the fact that Mr. Granville drove on that night and it was involved in this accident would make him inherently unbelievable to a jury. So I would call him as a witness.
A lot of people in the public are going to struggle with him getting a misdemeanor and a traffic citation, basically. They're going to struggle and think that he got a very favorable deal because he's a law enforcement officer. So how would you explain it to the general public?
Sure.
Look at this and be like, wow, he got off pretty easy.
Well, I would explain it this way. The highest possible charge was a misdemeanor. And he pled guilty to that misdemeanor. And I guess I just want to say this, too. For a law enforcement officer to come into court and plead guilty to a misdemeanor, that is not a small thing. And I don't think Mr. Granville left here today thinking he got off with nothing happening. He pled guilty to a crime. And for a law enforcement officer to do something, that is not a small thing.
Right, but we've seen a lot of praise for him. I mean, what other choice did he really have?
What other choice did Mr. Granville have?
To not show up?
No, he could have entered a plea of not guilty and attempted to go through the various mechanisms that defendants go through every day in hopes of getting the case dismissed on a technicality or something like that. There was a lot of things that he could have done. I don't think that I've praised Mr. Granville. I think I'm just trying to give you the facts as I have. Discovered them.
How much of an emphasis then, or how important was it to then get that additional aspect of service and public service as maybe some form of physical labor and something beyond the fine?
I thought it was important that there be something to some, and I recognize it is a token, but some token giving back for the, there has been some damage to the public trust, and I think it was important.
I just spoke with one of the witnesses in your investigation, and her reaction was, no one protects us. She's clearly not satisfied. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond that every day there are lots and lots of excellent law enforcement officers doing their job. And I pointed out today a couple of them, even one by name, who did exactly what she was supposed to do in trying to protect this community.
So just to clarify, it is possible that he can get his job back?
That is something that is not for me. Determination that the sheriff will make any determination with regard to employment.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.